WNHHLP 103.5 FM, New Haven's home for community radio. I'm Mubaraka Ibrahim, and this is Mornings with Mubaraka, streaming to you live from the quarantine. Okay, we're city-mandated quarantine, but technically I am in my private studio. So, I am not breaking the quarantine to do my radio show. When I discovered that I could still do it, because I do it from my studio instead of from the radio station studio, I was like, all right, yes, we can do this. And I did not want to leave you guys. So today we are going to talk about staying healthy and sane throughout all of the things that's going on. We're going to talk a little bit about nutrition. We're going to talk about kind of some healthy habits that we can establish to maintain our mental health during the quarantine. And then where are we in this whole corona pandemic thing? So I'm going to throw a little information out at you. You can join the conversation. I am live on Fit Muslima Instagram page. We are also live on New Haven Independent Facebook page, Periscope, TuneIn Radio. Just look for WNHHLP. If you have to walk around the house and do some cleaning or something and you can't sit next to your computer, there's an app for you to download. You can still listen to this and all WNHH shows on TuneIn Radio. So we are live in New Haven, Connecticut, and we are in a city requested, so we are not mandated yet. There's no martial law, but Mayor Justin Ellicker has asked everyone to stay in their homes and only go out when it's absolutely necessary. So we have been asked this since Monday. So where we are here in Connecticut is that the tri-state governors, meaning Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York, have all gotten together and implemented the same request of citizens, which is to stay in your home, travel only when necessary. Initially, it was not to come together in gatherings larger than 50 people. I read the other day that the CDC is actually now reducing that, asking people not to come together in groups larger than 10 people. We are making, with all of these efforts, we are making great strides to try and, as they say, flatten the curve. Here in New Haven, we have the last report that I saw, I believe we had three residents who had tested positive, including some administrators and healthcare professionals at Yale New Haven Hospital. But we also have just been able to roll out testing. So I think that we are quite fortunate that we are in the same city as one of the best hospitals, universities, and research facilities in the world, which is Yale New Haven. Despite all of its protests that many people have against it, we cannot overlook the fact that we are in a place where they have lots of resources and are working hard to really be on the front end of what's going on. And inside of New Haven, Yale has now implemented a drive-through testing. So this is super important if you did not know this and you are a New Haven resident. So there's a couple of things that you are going to need. You are going to need a doctor's request or a prescription to get the testing. You have to call your doctor to let them know that you have either been exposed to or you have symptoms of COVID-19, and they will determine whether or not it's appropriate for you to go through the drive-through testing. Now, why is that important as opposed to, hey, I'm feeling sick, let me go to the emergency room? We are discouraged from going to the emergency room because, as you could probably surmise, if you are going, if everybody goes to the emergency room, you're actually exposing other people if you have COVID-19, or if someone is there with COVID-19 and you actually only have an allergy and you don't have it, you can go there and get it. So avoid that. I guess the fortunate news is that there are progress being made around the world about what is happening with the virus. So far, doctors in India, I believe it is, yes, India, they are reporting that they are actually treating COVID-19 with a combination of drugs, and they are saying that it's being successful. We know that in China, they've closed down their last quarantine hospital because there isn't enough new cases for them to be open, which is awesome news because that means that if there it is now on the decline, then we know that we don't have to be like this forever. So, what do you do if you are on quarantine? If you want to tune in and give me some feedback, I am watching the comments on Facebook. I'm watching the comments on Instagram. Let me know what you're doing to maintain your sanity throughout this entire ordeal. So when it comes to really, there's two things that we have to talk about today. We're going to talk about how do we maintain mental health throughout this whole process, as well as what are some of the things that we can do to stay healthy and hopefully prevent ourselves being sick after we've done all of the hygiene stuff. Yeah, people always get on me when I talk about food and nutrition and somebody says, well, you got to tell people that they need to wash their hands. I think that we are doing a great job as a society, as the world, of reminding people hand washing, hygiene, it cannot be overdone. And I think that everybody is super, super cognizant of it. I know that I have been ever since it initially happened before we even had cases in the United States. I was washing my hands extra when I leave the gym, and then when I get in the car, I was putting on hand sanitizer, and then when I was getting home, I was washing my hands again. Well, now all of the gyms are closed, so this is something that was actually mandated by the state. For a while, some of the gyms stayed open, and I felt comfortable going to my gym because it's a small boutique gym, maybe 8 people in there when I do go, lots of space, not coming within 6 feet of other people, but even they had to close under the state requirements during this state of emergency. So staying sane, meaning avoiding having mental health anxiety or depression or just choking somebody that you have to stay in the house with for 14 days, all of those things are super important, because when we are really stressed, then our immune system drops. So I want you to think of kind of like the tips of maintaining mental health and reducing anxiety as a way of actually keeping your immune system nice and strong. Because health isn't just about the absence of disease, right? Health is about when you are exposed to pathogens, bacteria, viruses, that your immune system has the ability to actually fight it off, right? So have you ever had a season of your life where you were relatively healthy? You have no diagnosed diseases, but you get the flu 2 or 3 times in one season, or you're constantly having allergy attacks, right? So that is an indication that although you have an absence of disease, the immune system itself is not functioning at optimum level. Our goal should be throughout this entire process to make sure that our immune system is functioning at optimum level, because if your immune system is functioning at optimum level, hopefully, if you are exposed to the virus in any way, your immune system will be able to fight it off, right? So we know there's not like 100% contagion rate. It's a very high contagion rate. In fact, It is higher than even Ebola, higher than influenza. All of those things are not as contagious as COVID-19. And so we have to be cognizant of that, because oftentimes, especially on social media, people will spread lots of falseness, right? And it can be super dangerous, because even though as young people or as relatively healthy people, getting COVID-19 may not mean that you're going to die, but think about your neighbor who may be in their 70s or 80s, or your grandparents or your aunts or other people who are vulnerable, maybe a cousin who, not older, but maybe recovering from cancer, in remission for cancer, and have a compromised immune system. So all of these types of people, what can be just a couple days of a fever and a cough for one person can literally be death for someone else. So that is what we have to be conscious of. The cautiousness around hygiene, around making sure that we are not passing on to each other, is not about a fear of, oh my God, everybody's going to die if we get, right? So the other day I watched Outbreak, only because I'm kind of like the type of person that I like the information, because even though Outbreak is not what we're going through, the movie Outbreak is actually much worse. It's more like Ebola. But I watched it because I'm like I need to know information so that I can feel like I have some time. At least if I know the problem, if I know what's going on, then I will have a way of, in my mind, trying to fix it. That's part of my type A personality too, right? I always want to fix things. I always want to make sure, okay, this is the problem. Let's come up with a solution. And so I watched Outbreak the other day, actually yesterday. And it's certainly not that. And I don't think that that is most people's fears. I don't think that that is our elected official fears. I think that the fears is that it is not that for most people, but no unnecessary death is worth going out to get ice cream, right? So when you feel like, oh, I just want to run to the store real quick and grab some ice cream. I just want to, you know, go visit my friend. Right? So all of those interactions that you have can literally endanger other people's lives. And so that is the purpose of the quarantine. And it's important that we kind of like, we stick to that. So maintaining mental health throughout this quarantine. One of the things that many people may start experiencing is a lot of anxiety. You know, like you're just sitting around, not necessarily doing anything that would cause you to be anxious, and you feel your heart rate going really fast. You start having labored breathing. You feel nervous, and it's literally like you don't know why. Nothing has actually happened to cause this. But you have things that are going on in your subconscious that can create unnecessary anxiety for you. And it's really important that we try to calm those anxieties, because anxiety creates stress, and it causes our body to release stress hormones, and those things actually reduces our immune system. When it comes to calming your anxieties, there's several different techniques, of course, that you can use, but some of the more practical things that you can do that I suggest is that you try to maintain as much of a sense of normality as you can, even though your household right now may be everything except for normal, right? Your kids are supposed to be at school and they're running around the house. You're supposed to be at work and you're sitting in front of the TV, or you're cooking for the 10th time today, right? So all of these things are not a normal activity. But how do you create normalcy? There are two things that for sure you can control, despite all of the things that's happening around us that we have no control over, right? You can't control what the government is putting in as restrictions. We can't even control whether or not we're going to you know, get COVID-19. We can do everything we can to avoid it, but you don't see little viruses. They don't announce themselves as you go touch a doorknob or you pick up something that you haven't touched in a week. And it's, you know, all of these things we can't control. And so there's this sense of anxiety of everything is out of your control. But there's two things that are always in control. You can control your physical body and you can control what you do with your time. So take those two things and take back a sense of control of your life. Wake up the same time you would if you had to go to work or had to get the kids to school or had to be at a meeting, whatever your normal daily time, even if it's 6 o'clock in the morning, right? You technically could sleep to 8. But again, that is going to put you in a mental space where you are doing something that's abnormal. Our brain actually loves consistency. Our brain loves patterns. And when we are thrown out of that pattern, that is when we have lots of anxiety, where we feel out of control, where our life seems chaotic. So we can't control everything in life, but you can control those things. So wake up at the same time. If you work out at the same time you would go to the gym. You know, get in your living room, in your basement, out in your yard, do squats and push-ups and lunges. And there's hundreds of exercises you can do by Googling, go on YouTube, go on Instagram, and do some bodyweight exercise. You don't need equipment. Great if you have equipment, but you don't need equipment. So don't use that as a reason like, oh, well, I go to the gym and I get on the machines and I get on the treadmill. Well, this is a great time for you to find all of the large variety of exercises you can do without getting on a treadmill, without using weights. And they are just as effective. Whether your goal is to gain muscle or become faster, increase your cardiovascular endurance, lose weight, tone up. There is a plethora of body weight exercises that you can do to achieve all of those things. So stick to your workout regimen. And the good thing is, if on a regular day you've been thinking, hey, I don't have time to work out, this is a great time for you to experiment with some times that would allow you to work out even when you go back to your normal schedule, right? So if you've been like saying, oh, well, I don't really have time to work out, but I do have 20 minutes in the morning to where I watch the news every day. Can you take those 20 minutes and like literally mark them out to get a quick workout in, even if it's for 15 minutes? This is a great time for you to work out. Keep your workout schedule if you already work out. Start moving around. I'm going to talk about that a little bit too and how that is going to increase your immune system and decrease stress. The great thing is that most of these things actually work on the exact two things that we're looking to do, which is decrease stress and increase the immune system. So go to bed at the same time. This is really important even for the kids, right? So the kids are probably having as much anxiety as we are because they are not around their friends, they're not in school, they don't know what to do. They have gone from writing with pen and paper to having to look at a screen all day if they have converted to online schooling. So recognize that they may be feeling a little anxiety as well. So if your kids are really acting up, just take a deep breath and recognize, remember, little kids are little humans. So what we're feeling, they're probably feeling too. They just can't identify it as clearly as we can. So make sure that you as the adult are cognizant of that and create a schedule that is similar to what they normally do on a daily basis. So that may mean giving them a lunch break at about the same time. And they're already in the habit of, okay, I need to sit down between this time and this time. Don't, you know, give them a little break. Don't be so hard on them, but also try to keep some major schedule normality as much as you can. Bedtime the same time, wake up the same time, have lunch the same time. Those are the things that we can control. And when those, and they may seem really small, but it does change the way that our brain is going to be able to deal with all of this chaos and then not knowing when it's going to end, right? So you have to plan that this may last for not 2 weeks, but 4 weeks. Or I know the governor of New York has said that they anticipate it, things to not get back to normal for 6 months. That's a really long time. That's a lot of built up anxiety. So make sure you try to create as much normalcy as you can. And I'm sure you've probably heard 100 times, really take some time to meditate and to breathe. If you're not a meditator and you're like, I don't want to do the woo-woo stuff, think about just doing some breath work, right? So meditation isn't about sitting around holding your fingers together saying all day. It really is about you taking, think of it as a brain rest, right? Can you take your brain and your consciousness and completely separate it from all of the chaos that's going on and focus on one thing? And often breath work is a really good way of starting that, because you have a very tangible thing and physical sensations that you can focus on. So just breathing in for a 3 count, holding it for a 5 count, breathing out for a 7 count, right? So actually counting how you breathe in, how you hold, how you exhale is a way for you to do mindfulness and really focus on what you're actually doing at that moment. And it doesn't have to be all day. 5 minutes. Research shows that 5 minutes of just focusing on your breath can make a significant difference in lowering your blood pressure and reducing anxiety. So that's super important. Can't really lead you through it on the radio station, because I think there's some kind of like unwritten rule. You can't have like silence for too long on radio. But we'll do some on the Facebook page or on Instagram. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to WNHHLP 103.5 FM, New Haven's home for community radio. I'm Mubaraka Ibrahim, and this is Mornings with Mubaraka, airing live from the quarantine in Beaver Hill section of New Haven, Connecticut. Today is March the 18th. And we are, so when people listen to this in a year and 5 years, we are in a historic time of living through the COVID-19 world pandemic. And we are talking about ways to stay sane and healthy throughout it all. So what do we do about our health, right? How do we maintain a healthy immune system throughout this entire process to make sure that we are giving our bodies the best chance we can to, one, not get sick if we are exposed to virus and bacteria. Number two, have a less severe reaction if we do get sick, and recover quicker and healthy. Okay, so there's a couple of things. So I'm going to apologize for busting some myths, right? So there's a lot of things that are going around on social media, and this is one of my pet peeves about social media, right? If somebody has good video skills, they can spread any lie. And that is actually a pet peeve of mine. And it's really important, particularly with things like viruses and sickness and disease, that we are very clear as to the things that can prevent it, that can treat it or cure it, and what we need to do and what we should and should not do. So these things are not necessarily a bad thing to do, but we shouldn't do them with the expectation that it's going to prevent us from getting, from contracting a virus, right? Particularly COVID-19. So first things first, burning sage does not kill COVID-19. You cannot prevent getting COVID-19 if you saved your room or your house. All right, let's just put that out there. So, first thing, that is based on a social media myth of a very flawed study that says, you'll read it on social media, that sage kills 94% of all bacteria in the air. So, even if you did believe that, even if you said, oh no, it was a study, they did it and it kills all the bacteria. COVID-19, coronavirus, is a virus. It is not bacteria. They are two completely different things. So even if sage did kill bacteria, it wouldn't do anything for a virus. However, the study that is often quoted was actually a very flawed study. Number one, it looked at the bacteria in a room that burned a traditional Native American combination of dried herbs, of which sage was not one of them. So it was one, a combination of herbs. Number two, sage wasn't even included in the combination of herbs for this particular study. And yes, the study showed that 94% of the bacteria in the air was reduced. However, the researchers left the room and they did not account for the fact that bacteria can drop down physically to the lower parts of the room when the room is not disturbed. So they did not account for that. So we don't know if the bacteria actually died or if it just settled in the carpet. So this is the reason why that is a flawed study, and it has not been repeated or proven in any other study. So if you are a researcher and you think this would be an interesting study to do, I would suggest you do it and tag me with your results or email them to me, because I would love to know. Wouldn't that be great if we could just burn an incense or some sage and we can get rid of all bacteria and virus? That would be awesome. But so far, we know that that is not true. The second thing that I wanted to talk about is, like, what can we do to actually keep our immune system really strong? Oftentimes, and I know lots of people who do this, we go and we get all of this vitamin C. Vitamin C is going to keep your immune system strong. Vitamin C is going to prevent you from getting a cold. Well, unfortunately, that's not exactly true. And I know I'm like, really, a lot of people are not going to believe me. I'm completely prepared for that. But you can literally, it's like research you can Google. PubMed, really, it's a great resource, has all of the public research that people do that can show you if things work or don't work. So here's the interesting thing about vitamin C. And I actually was taught this like my whole life, like vitamin C, you have to take vitamin C during the winter months, right? And I used to actually give my kids vitamin C during the winter months so that they can avoid getting sick. But when researchers actually gave people vitamin, okay, so first of all, let's talk about where it came from. So there was a, actually, look at that. So there was a Nobel Prize winner who wrote a book, and of course he won a Nobel Prize, so everybody's going to believe him. His name was Linus Pauling, and he wrote a book in the 1970s, and he said that high doses of vitamin C can prevent colds and flu. It was not really based on research, and the research has not been able to be replicated. So how do we know when a researcher or a scientist does something and it's actually really valid research and the results are true? Is that when other researchers can replicate the study and they get the same results. So since the 1970s, no one has been able to prove that in general population, taking vitamin C can prevent you getting a cold. But if you take it when you have a cold, it can reduce the duration and severity of the cold. So that's really interesting. Vitamin C is really, and don't get me wrong, vitamin C is a super important vitamin. We know that it is important for immune function. It's important actually for bone and teeth and nails. It's also an antioxidant. It has been shown to help to prevent certain types of cancer and even heart disease. But when we talk about it actually preventing flu, influenza, or a cold, it doesn't prevent people from getting it. So when they look at people who take vitamin C, what do people take vitamin C get sick less often? No, they don't. But what they did find is that once people are sick, giving them vitamin C seems to decrease the duration by about a day. So not super significant. So if you're going to have a cold for 7 days, it can cut it down to 6 days, right? Taking zinc can actually cut it down even further. But zinc is also in a very similar categories. There hasn't been much research to prove that it decreases the frequency of illness, but it can decrease the severity and the duration of the illness. So there are things that you want to keep on hand just in case you do get the flu, you do get COVID-19. We don't know if it affects COVID-19 the same way that it does the flu, but we know both of them are viruses, and for the influenza virus, it does decrease the severity of the symptoms and the duration of them. So that's super important. Do not go around saying Mubarak said, this is how you treat COVID-19. I didn't say that, right? Let's be clear. So vitamin C is not going to prevent you from getting sick. Zinc is great to have on hand. And yes, we should. The thing is that if you take a really good multivitamin, all of these things are already inside of your multivitamin. Make sure it's a food-based multivitamin. And if you take the multivitamin, then you don't have to buy all of these additional supplements. That's really important. Make sure that even though that you are inside, hopefully in your huge shopping trip, next to your toilet paper, you put some frozen vegetables. Make sure that you are really eating healthful food. Don't use this as a time for you to pig out on chips and cookies and a whole bunch of sugar, right? Even though there's that temptation, because you're going to start feeling at some point, feeling anxiety, feeling sad that you can't resume your normal activities yet. And then as a result, you're going to want to eat, right? You're going to make sure that you're sleeping well. We know that if you do not get sufficient sleep, your immune system plummets. Every time your immune system goes down, you open yourself up for illness. And it is still flu season, so let's not minimize that as well. COVID-19 is serious, but you also don't want to get the flu or get pneumonia or anything that is of that severity. So making sure that you are taking a multivitamin, keep your immune system up. Not really necessary to take extra vitamin C or extra zinc if you have a really good multivitamin. In fact, taking too much zinc can do the opposite and actually reduce the immune system, because zinc is a really important nutrient when it comes to immune function. It actually works on the immune system in several different ways. So there is a such thing as too much of a good thing. So just make sure that your multivitamin has those two things in it. Make sure that you're eating healthful. You're eating lots of vegetables, fruits if you have them, you know, make sure that you, and don't worry about, oh, I can't go to the store every day and get fresh fruits and vegetables. The frozen ones will be just fine. We like fresh as best because it tastes much better, but most research shows that frozen vegetables actually, when frozen properly, so commercially frozen, then the nutrient value actually doesn't change that much. If you're going to freeze them yourself, so if you were one of those people that went to the store and got some greens and got some broccoli and you're like, hey, I'm going to freeze these myself instead of buying them frozen, or maybe you went to the freezer section and it was no more. You want to make sure that you're only dipping them inside of the hot water just for a quick second, for about 5 to 10 seconds, and then taking them out. You want them to be super bright green when you allow them to cool and then freeze them. So that way you aren't overcooking them when you unfreeze them to use them again, because overcooking is really what reduces the nutrient value of the food, not the actual freezing. So that is really, really important. The other thing that you want to make sure that you are aware of throughout this process is get some movement in. I cannot emphasize, now y'all know I was going to talk about movement. It is super, super important, right? All the research studies show that people who exercise on a regular basis have a higher immune function than people who are sedentary. So get out. And so it's not something like, oh, well, I never exercised before, so what's the sense of doing it now? No, these are things that actually work right away, right? Getting enough sleep tonight will make your immune system stronger tomorrow. These are things that does not take a long cumulative effect. These are things that you can do right away. If you haven't worked out today, as soon as you're finished listening to this show, go work out. If you have a yard, you can walk, you can use your yard to do all kinds of stuff. You can walk around the block, right? So our mandate is for us to, for social distancing. Not a lot of people are out. You can make sure that you just get up and move and walk around your block a few times. Do come back to your house, do some push-ups, do some lunges. Just keep active. That's super important because it's going to keep your blood flowing. Not only does it also boost your immune system, but it's going, we know that exercise actually helps to treat and prevent depression. That, even if you haven't suffered from it before, be cognizant of that when you get to week 2, 3, and 4 of your quarantine, because you have to be cognizant of the signs of it so that you can say, okay, let me get up and move because I know it's going to give me some endorphins and I'm going to feel better. It's going to reduce my cortisol level, and so I'm going to have less anxiety. Exercise has been proven to be just as effective for depression as Prozac. That's significant. But just like medication, like Prozac, you have to do it consistently, right? So this is one of the, I think, the misconceptions about people who want to take alternative ways of healing. It's a medication. If you use movement as a medication, you have to make sure that you're very conscious that you are actually doing it on a daily basis. The consistency is the key. And don't discount doing it right in your house. If you can't go anywhere, you don't want to go outside, or you got 5 kids and you don't want to drag them around the block like a little duck with her ducklings, then do something fun inside. Instead of having the kids sit down and play Monopoly, play a game of Twister, right? Do something that's going to be physically active. Have a competition of who can do the most high knees in 1 minute, right? These kind of things are going to keep you super active. During this time, well, not super active, but active. That was an unnecessary adjective. Okay. It's going to keep you active during this time. So hopefully these things are going to be really helpful for you. I'm going to remind you to really pay attention to all of the recommendations that's being made. I hear people talk about, oh, well, you know, it's not a mandate. It sort of kind of is. And if people don't listen, that's when martial law happens. Let's not get people to do that. We don't want that. We don't want that at all. So you want to make sure that you are practicing your social distancing, right? The beautiful thing is that in today's world, even with social distancing, we have FaceTime and we have online videos and we have classes and we have all of these mechanisms that we can continue to stay in touch with people. So call a friend, right? And don't just call them on the phone, try to FaceTime them, arrange a Zoom call or a Skype call, all of these things, especially for young kids, right? Let them know that they can, you know, actually see their friends through video calls. All of those things are gonna be important for us to maintain our sanity and our health throughout this entire process. So, before I end, I wanted to give a couple public service announcements just for people who may not be aware. So here in New Haven, Connecticut, if all of the schools are shut down, so K through 12, they are shut down right now indefinitely. There's no reopen date. But if you need food, many kids depend on school lunches in order to eat, please contact 211 so that you can know that there are resources available to you both at your local school, so whatever school is in your neighborhood, even if your kids do not go to that school, you can go there and you can get lunch for them. So you want to make sure that you take advantage of that resource. There are, if you're having financial difficulties or a problem meeting a bill, right, actually call the company. There are many companies, including internet companies and cell phone companies, who are allowing people to waive their bill because of everything that's going on. I like to think that this is the silver lining of everything that's happening. I'm a silver lining person. I can't help but be optimistic, right? We're gonna get through this, and we're gonna come out stronger, we're gonna learn lessons, and then if it ever happens again, we can respond in a much better way that's much more effective, right? We're gonna learn throughout this whole process. But one of the things that I have enjoyed the most is seeing the humanity. And not just humanity in terms of community. Of course we have community, we have what we're doing on a state level, but if we just think about the humanity that we have seen of businesses giving free food to people, we have seen companies, like all of these companies that we actually on a regular day may villainize because of their capitalist greed, right? We're even seeing the humanities behind the people who run those companies by allowing waivers, by not shutting off services, by offering free services. So for example, if you have a kid that is in school that Zoom actually offers their service for free, which is a video conferencing service. So if they need to contact their teacher or they want to contact one another, so that is like super important. Those are all resources that we have access to. And it's even the people that we think of as, our companies we think of as corporate giants, right? So Amazon announced today that, and I don't know how I feel about this though. I guess I feel okay. They're going to prioritize medications and just needs. So we can't go on Amazon and just buy, you know, some fluffy socks because we want our toes to look cute for a nice TikTok or Instagram video, right? So they're actually stopping that for now, so that they can prioritize the things that people actually need to survive on a daily basis. And that's pretty important and that's pretty significant. But eventually we will get back to normal and we'll all have stories that we can tell and experiences that we can share on how we got through this and got through it sane and healthy. I want to thank you for joining me today. You have been listening to Mornings with Mubaraka on WNHHLP, 103.5 FM, New Haven's home for community radio. I'm Mubaraka Ibrahim, and I want to remind you that this, we're all in this together, so make sure that you are staying sane, staying healthy, following your hygiene, social distancing, and everything that you've been recommended to do in order to get through this process. Until next week, broadcasting from the quarantine in New Haven, Connecticut, Beaver Hills. Talk to you then.
From person to person.